org. I'm going to find out what the new moniker is specifically. I know it's GA 2A. Is it Georgia 2A or GA 2A? Jerry Henry, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. The official name of the organization is Georgia Second Amendment, but we go by GA 2A.
Gotcha.
We were, as you said, formerly GeorgiaCarry.org for about the last 12 years or so.
Gotcha.
And we decided we would rebrand.
No, Georgia's no compromise voice for gun owners. They believe the citizens of Georgia and the U.S. have the right to own and carry the firearm of their choice for any reason that's legal.
That's correct.
And absolutely. And by the way, you mean, of course, qualified citizens, not felons or the mentally disturbed.
That's correct. Yeah. And not only that, we don't care whether you carry a firearm or not. We're fighting for your right to decide that for yourself and not have the government decide whether you can or can't.
I have always wondered why those who claim to, even Donald Trump, who is a big Second Amendment guy, did not, you know, kind of trip the light fantastic, push the envelope by saying the day after he became president, you know, as your chief executive officer, I believe the Second Amendment is a 50-state, coast-to-coast right. I would like to say right this minute that if you have the right to carry a firearm, you can carry in all 50 states and all cities with very few exceptions, and let the Supreme Court fight that or attempt to fight that. That would have been interesting to me, and I always wondered why no one ever did it.
Well, there was a bill that was introduced during his first term to do just that, to allow 50-state reciprocity, and it never went anywhere. He never pushed it. There was that bill. There was also the hearing protection bill that would allow that would take the suppressors out of the NFA, you know, from having to be registered and paying a tax on, etc. And neither one of those bills ever moved forward with him.
That makes no sense. I don't understand that. I mean, if he really wanted to make an everlasting mark on this battle and this debate, it seemed like that would have been the way to do it. And by the way, for anyone that ever questions the constitutionality of checking an ID to vote, I always say, you know what, we can take the air out of this balloon in a heartbeat. Make the law very clear in every state that whatever the requirement is to own a gun as far as, or buy a gun, as far as showing ID is the same thing to vote.
Well, that'll do it.
That'll do it in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat.
Well, you know, you were talking about Trump a while ago. He may be one of those what we call Second Amendment butts. I believe in the Second Amendment, but, you know, there's no but in the Second Amendment. You either believe in it or you don't believe in it.
Well, to his credit, I never heard him say but. He may have hesitated, I guess, to embrace what he could have done. But I never heard him say but on it.
No, he didn't. However, he did make a statement after one of the school shootings that they shouldn't have to worry about red flag law. Just go ahead and take the guns and then let the courts fight it out later.
Mm.
You know, he basically said the heck with due process.
Well, that's troubling.
So, you're right. He didn't say, I never heard him say, but that's the way an awful lot of the Second Amendment butts act.
So
they talk a big game and don't do anything about it.
Have you heard what's been discussed today? A lot of it focuses on spending for increased security at schools and that type of thing, which, of course, is not really germane to the Second Amendment issue in and of itself. And I don't know of anybody that's pro-Second Amendment that doesn't favor as much security in the schools as we can reasonably afford. Having said that, I've always found it troubling that we have many retired military members, we have many retired law enforcement and former law enforcement officers who are teachers, mm-hmm. and somebody says these people can't and shouldn't and should never carry a weapon with them on school property. I am proud to say my daughter, her elementary school principal was a decorated Green Beret. And when the Columbine attacks occurred, I went and met with several folks at the school. And I said, just out of curiosity, I'm just curious about this. I'm not pointing fingers. I said, is anybody on this staff, an Army or Navy or Air Force veteran? And the secretary laughed and she said, would a Green Beret be enough for you? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, how about Mr. Ham right there sitting in that office right there? And I said, holy crap, a Green Beret? And they showed me pictures and everything. I said, wow. And I said, so you mean to tell me if, God forbid, somebody came into this school with a weapon, Mr. Ham would have to go at him with a thesaurus because that's the only gun he is legally allowed to have on campus. And they said, yep. And I said, that's baloney. That's hogwash. And we need to change the damn law.
I agree. But well, now, it's, we changed the law in 2014 to allow school districts to arm their teachers.
Oh, yeah, we did. Absolutely. Unfortunately, not a lot of systems have embraced that. Yeah.
Well, I believe there's been three of them.
Yeah.
That have actually done it. The rest of them don't want any part of it. In fact, most of the school resource officers are not armed.
Which again is ridiculous. That they're nothing more than well-dressed human shields at that point. That's awful.
Right. They're just another setting target.
That's awful. Do you remember the case? And shame on me for not remembering the names. But there was a teacher in Kentucky, I believe it was, or maybe it was an assistant principal, who had a shooter go into their school lunchroom and start creating problems. He had to run to his car, which he purposely parked across the street from the school, to retrieve his weapon, come into the school with it, and the instant that the punk saw him with the gun, he gave up. You remember that one?
Yeah. Yes, I do remember that. I don't remember the name, but I remember the incident.
Yeah.
And you're right. Why would he have to run all the way out to his car to come back in and stop it? You know, most of these guys, you kind of brought up a point there. Most of these guys that do these shootings, when they're finally accosted, when they're finally approached with force, they commit suicide.
Yep.
I say,
or they give up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Most of them, I think, commit suicide. But regardless, either way, let's meet them at the door.
Big time.
Don't give them a time. You know, when I read what they're saying has happened in Uvalde, and of course I wasn't there, so I can't really say, but I have a feeling that as much has come out of the investigation down there, that there's an awful lot of truth in that. And they got like 11 guys inside the school and did not even open the door, which was unlocked. They were waiting for a key to get into an unlocked door. And they waited 45 minutes before they went in there. There's just, you know, there's no excuse for that.
By the way,
not when you're,
yeah, I completely agree. No excuse. The folks in Uvalde have gotten a bit of a bum rap in that I believe from everything that I've read, it was one or two supervisors in that police department that made that call. And sadly, their own men and women followed orders the way that they're supposed to and didn't go in.
Right.
There were none of them that said we're afraid. The two thought they were making tactical judgment calls that were the right thing to do, and they were totally the wrong thing to do. So I want to make that clear. This wasn't about guts. This wasn't about being afraid. This was about two probably bureaucrats that didn't need to be in that position making tactical decisions in the field that they were not qualified to make.
And I will not disagree with that. Unfortunately, it reflects on all the officers because none of them had the gumption to say, listen, there are people dying on the other side of that door. We got to do something.
Well, there were.
Instead.
Yeah, there were a couple of. My wife was yelling at the radio today as we were listening to the story driving back into town from vacation. She said, oh, yeah, there was a Texas state public safety officer who refused to follow the order and who broke through the line to get his wife and his kid out of there. You remember that guy?
Right.
And there was another officer, I believe, whose child, who was a Uvalde officer, whose child was one of the injured and who eventually died, who did toe the line and obey the law, like you said, or obey the orders from the supervisor that was
right. Home. But even the Texas Department of Public Safety guy, when he went in there, he only got his child out and did not approach the shooter. And I can't really, you know, I can't really say anything about that. But you would think that he would have headed for the shooter. Of course, we don't know the circumstances of what was going on, but we do know that it was mishandled from the word go, no matter who did the mishandling.
No doubt. So do you think we're at a place where perhaps, you're a states' rights guy, kind of like I am, but I believe the Second Amendment is 50 states coast to coast, and we need to sidestep a lot of these state regulations. I have never felt more naked than I do walking the streets of New York or Chicago without my 357 that I normally carry with me. And I just that's the place I need it the most. I know which neighborhoods, I know which neighborhoods to avoid in my hometown. I don't know where the hell I am when I'm out of town going to a ball game or an event or a concert or some such on vacation. And so, you know, you turn one wrong corner. It's funny, we were out of town this weekend, and we went sightseeing a little bit and took a couple of strange turns. And the next thing you know, we're in the middle of a very, very unsavory neighborhood. And my first thing my wife said, did you bring the gun with you? That's right here next to me. And she said, well, you just never can tell. And images of the Clark Griswold family having their car stripped in that neighborhood in Detroit, you remember, all came to life.
Yes, I do.
But it's one of those things where, you know, we have no other constitutional right that we park or change depending on what zip code we're standing in. You don't have less of a right to speech when you're in Los Angeles versus Augusta, Georgia. You don't have less of a right to assemble in Spokane, Washington than you do in Atlanta.
You're right, but our gun rights do stop at the state line.
Yeah.
And in some instances, stop in the county at the county line. Fortunately, we don't have that problem here in Georgia, but there's an awful lot of states that do. And I agree with you. I should be able to defend myself anywhere that a bad man will go. You know, if you look at the criminals, they carry anywhere they want to.
They don't care about the rules. They don't care about the rules. They don't care about the law. None of that. Yeah.
Right. And I could carry anywhere I want to, basically, but I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to break the laws. I don't want to be I don't want to lose my rights to carry anywhere else. But I think that I should basically have the same right or privilege that he uses to carry wherever he wants to.
What would you think about, and by the way, this is Jerry Henry. He is the head of what used to be called GeorgeCarry.org. It's now Georgia Second Amendment, GA2A. And you can find them online still at GeorgeCarry.org. What would you think about, even though, again, we're both very much in support of state or all 50 state right to carry, kind of doing what they did with trusted passengers on airplanes? Maybe those of us who have gone through the training, those of us who have either been in the military, former law enforcement officers, whatever it happens to be, and who are willing to be tested, who are willing to keep our status, quote unquote, you know, online with the government, whatever it happens to be, whether it's vision test or you know, background checks on occasion, that type of thing. So we have what's known as a super permit, which basically says, get out of my way. I'm carrying the gun. Screw you.
Right. Well, I've never been against that. Our organization, under certain circumstances, has opposed it. And we've tried to put it in to what we call Code Section 1611-130, which is the one that there's about 45 different categories in there. We're talking about police, judges, and so on. Basically, anybody that's a friend of a legislator who can get it passed can get into that system. And we wanted to put weapons carry license holders in that code section. And I have no problem with that, at least myself. But the reason, every time that we talk about it, they want to come back and say, well, there's limitations on it. Okay, you can be in there, but you can't do what the sheriff can do. You can be in there, but you can't do what the judge can do. And what we want is, we would like to see either that completely done away with, where everybody has to go and qualify the same way to carry, or put us in there equal with the law enforcement or anybody else.
Gotcha. Well, I certainly agree that, sadly, the Second Amendment is the redheaded stepchild of all the amendments, in that the federal government has long believed they can allow the states to toy with it any way they want to. And I just don't understand how that's consistent. That's not equal protection under the law. Jerry, can you hold on for just 1 second? I got to take a commercial break, come back to you. Stay with us. Jerry Henry is the head of GeorgeCarry.org's new moniker. It's same organization, just known as Georgia Second Amendment, GA2A. They're online, GeorgeCarry.org. We'll be back. Stay with us. Jerry and I will continue just after this.
The Austin Rhodes Show is on News Talk WGAC.
The fine folks of the Frog Hollow Hospitality Group remind you, no better collection of restaurants under one ownership. I got to tell you, a commitment to absolute top-of-the-line produce and meats, the finest beverages, a lot of handcrafted cocktails that they have taken a long time to perfect, and don't forget the wherever possible, locally sourced produce and meats. I said that a minute ago. And local canned beverages as well, and bottled beverages, so local brews, that type of thing. They've got wonderful, wonderful outlets that we've all come to know and love over the years, like Farmhouse 1 and 2, Great Gourmet Hamburgers, Frog Hollow Tavern, their signature, their flagship fine dining restaurant that they opened some years ago. And, of course, the newest kid on the block, Faux Rominal, on Broad Street, beautiful downtown Augusta, which is soon to be joined by its sister restaurant just behind it, Taco Cat. That restaurant will be opening soon. So we've got all these fantastic locations, locally owned and managed, with a commitment to locally sourced products whenever possible, and a great, great wait staff to make your evening, or lunch for that matter, complete. Frog and the Hen is included in that list. There, I got a thank you note for suggesting the Saturday brunch at Frog and the Hen this past weekend from 10 until 3. The Saturday and Sunday brunch at Frog and the Hen is something not to be missed. Great tapas menu, the regular menu is available as well. And again, great handcrafted cocktails with specials all throughout the day. The fine restaurants of the Frog Hollow Hospitality Group remind you, eating out has never been more fun. It's never been better. The Frog Hollow Hospitality Group.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
There's no better way to share a little sunshine with someone than with fresh flowers. No matter what kind of bouquet you need, my good friends at Ladybug's Flowers and Gifts have you covered. Maybe it's a romantic arrangement of anniversary flowers, or a dazzling birthday bouquet, or a cheery arrangement of get-well flowers. Whatever you need, the design team will create something special just for you. Don't trust national floral sites that ship uncut, unarranged flowers in a box. Every one of Ladybug's floral gifts is uniquely designed and hand-arranged by professional designers, delivered to provide a personal touch. You, the customer, are always their first priority, so don't settle for anything less than Ladybug's Flowers and Gifts. For flowers in Augusta or anywhere across the country, if you need to grab fresh flowers on the go, they've always got a cooler full of flowers ranging from the simple to the elaborate. Ladybug's Flowers and Gifts, your trusted local florist. Remember, if it has a ladybug on the vase, they'll know that you've chosen the very best. Fury's Ferry Station, or online, ladybugsflowers.com.
There's a shortage of cars across the land. It's true. Luckily, Gerald Jones Auto Group is here for you. With our best trade allowances of the summer, selling your car is never a bummer. If you're ready to trade and upgrade, bring your car and we'll get you paid. You can pre-order or shop our lot. Our inventory and prices are hot, hot, hot. Visit Gerald Jones Auto Group today. Click to shop, click to buy, click to trade at clickaroo.com.
Jerry Henry is the, are we calling you president, chairman? What exactly?
I'm the executive director.
Executive director, there we go, of what's formerly known as Georgia Carry, Georgia 2A, Georgia Second Amendment. And again, you can see them online, georgecarry.org. They've even got a cool store where you can get things like GCO shooting caps. You can buy a lifetime membership to help support their lobbying efforts with, I would assume, not only the Georgia legislature, but also the feds as well.
Well, we basically limit ourselves to Georgia. Now, when there's something going on in the feds, we do notify our customers or our members. But basically, we're based right here in Georgia and fighting for our rights in this state.
Gotcha. I see every day there are stories, very, very sad stories, about career criminals that continue to break the laws of the land, and they end up being responsible for shootings and everything. I've always said that no matter how many rules and regulations they make to make guns more difficult to obtain, that bad guys are going to obtain them. And the best way, if you want to preemptively stop a murder from occurring, is to, once we have the bad guys in hand, Keep them in hand. Don't let them go.
Keep them there.
Every damn one of these figures that have been charged with murder lately in our area anyway, they can always show old mug shots. Hold on to them when you take their damn picture. We're letting real serious bad guys out with a slap on the wrist. And by the way, Georgia should be commended compared to what they're doing out in California. I mean, they're not even charging people with theft unless it hits $1,000.
That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Go ahead.
I said for some time they need to take the revolving door off the jail and lock it and leave them in there.
How would you feel about, again, I mentioned this before you joined us, draconian punishments for convicted felons who carry a gun, have a gun, use a gun again, whatever it happens to be? I think just the pictures that we have of thugs with guns in their hand pulling triggers should be enough to send them to jail for 20 years.
Oh, I think that any time you do a crime with a gun, you ought to be in jail for at least 20 years and maybe even more. And if you repeat, then you go there for life. I mean, there's no need in that happening. There's no need in us patting these people on the back and say, or pat them on the head and say, oh, well, go back out. We know you'll be a good boy because you just got into a bad situation there and decided you had to kill three people. So go ahead and you go back out and wait for us to come back and get you on something else.
Unreal.
It's ridiculous. It is totally ridiculous that we do that.
We've got a couple of horror stories about our new DA here in the Augusta area that let some very, very bad people out when he had them dead to rights on using guns in a crime, and it drives me up the wall. Listen, Jerry, I'm out of time. Thank you so much. It's an honor to talk to you today, and hope we get to meet you in person soon, and I'm going to keep you on my speed dial in case we have issues coming up that we need your input on, okay?
Well, we certainly appreciate it. I've enjoyed it, and it's very good to be on here, and we thank you for having us on here, and anytime I can help you.
All right.
Give me a call.
Jerry Henry, the executive director, thank you, sir, of Georgia Second Amendment.